Hour in Radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll be breaking down this past week's race at Daytona. We'll hear from the winner. It's a junior, but not Dale. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Later in the show, we'll discuss the upcoming race at Kentucky. And as always, share with you our power rankings, picks to win. We've got all that and much, much more today on Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left is Mr. Jason Hildebrand. And, of course, the ugly mug spinning the tunes across the table, Mr. Scott Webb. Which you were making some hand gestures, Scott, while
I was talking. I was just excited to be on the show today.
Oh.
I'm super pumped.
I didn't get that, of course.
I was
kind of paying attention to
You're number one.
Oh, so listen, I got a good quick weather forecast brought to you by Owasi Chase Air Systems. It's going to rain for the next, month or
foreseeable
so.
Future.
You know, when do we move to the rainforest?
I know. And I was telling my wife, I was like, it all balances out. I mean, we had a drought
one
last year.
One year flood.
1 year flood, yeah. So, I mean, I know over in the Dry Valley area or whatever, I think your cattle are going to be fine as far as having grass to eat for
just hope they don't drown. That's all.
I don't know if they swim too
Thanks
well.
Thanks for that agricultural update.
That's two, agricultural and weather.
Brought to you by the FFA.
Adam Harner.
There you go.
He's got that there. Hey, so funny story. Last night, we make this a Kyle family tradition, right, of going to the Lookouts game, and good friend Rich Mazingo down at the Chattanooga Lookouts, and we go down there to watch the fireworks. So it starts at 6:15, so we kind of make a day of it and get down there at 5:45, probably, I think a little earlier. Anyway, so we're there, and of course, mention of rain. So they get four innings in, and then here comes this, like, monsoon. You could see it coming from the mountain, coming to the interstate, and then everybody's trying to get down a little area. Anyway, got soaking wet. Come back, and my good buddy Rich is down there taking, this is President and CEO Rich Mazingo of the Chattanooga Lookouts, is folding up the tarp, and he's soaking wet, which was funny.
Hey.
So the game, you think at the end of nine innings you get to watch a nice fireworks show. Well, it went 14. And
nothing like bonus baseball.
This guy, his wife,
except
and
on
kids,
a work night.
On a work night on the 4th of July.
We left in inning number 13. So we did not get to see the fireworks. I did hear them on the radio. So kind of a buzzkill.
Hey, there's nothing to hear the fireworks. That's great.
I was going
to
say, there's nothing like hearing fireworks on the radio.
It was good.
Nothing like it.
Driving home, you can kind of watch both sides of the road. Well, my kids could, my wife, but I couldn't. And you see that. So speaking of fireworks, we did have some at Daytona. This past weekend, always fun to go to Daytona. Listen, as far as competitive races that I want to see, there wasn't much follow the leader. Everybody was moving around. Everybody was passing. Tires, the big issue this week.
Yeah, you saw some blown tires out there take out some really, really good cars. Especially you're talking about the 88. Dale Earnhardt Jr., I think, drove the wheels off that thing, did a great job.
Yeah, great job.
You could tell he wanted to go out and win that race. Unfortunately, the tire issue he had, then the result of an incident in the wall, then the tire issue that Kevin Harvick had took him out and took out a lot of other cars, too. So, unfortunate for him. But, yeah, there were some tire issues down on that big old 2.5-mile track.
Scott, it was a Saturday night, so the snooze, does the snooze meter come in on Saturday?
Oh, not at all, Saturday night. None whatsoever. I thought it was as good a race as you could want to see. And one of the things I love about these restrictor plate tracks is you get to see a lot of guys, a lot of different guys on different strategies, especially with the stage racing we have going on. So you really saw at different points in time during the race, a lot like we saw the week before at Sonoma, different guys that you're not accustomed to seeing week in and week out kind of battling for position. We almost, I think at one point there towards the end of the race, there was like only two of the top 16 or 17 people had even won a race this year. So it was a lot of excitement, a lot of drama. The racing was good. Really, you can't really ask for anything much more out of Daytona.
I want to go back.
Rain stayed away.
Yeah,
it did. Until Friday night.
Yeah, it was a full day of racing because you had the Xfinity race mm-hmm. Saturday 24 afternoon.
24-hour rain
yeah.
delay.
So I was very, very pleased. Thought it ranked real high in terms of quality of races we've had this year.
I want to go back to and talk about the 88 for a second. You know, we've talked about for a while on the show, as he's ended or gotten toward the end of his career, which we know will be at the end of this year, that it seemed like he lost the push, the want to, the go get. Seemed like he got that back Saturday, and I know that was kind of the first race since they announced this. Let's give back to Dale, or let's admonish Dale for the rest of the year. To have the kind of race he had, where normally I think at the end. When he runs into the wall after he has a tire going down, that usually is the end of the 88 in a race. He's back. You've got something wrong, something like that. The guy goes two laps down, Jason, and then comes storming back. And they had a couple of
luck. I thought he had a good car.
There.
Yeah. He had a really good car. You could see it in qualifying. I mean, he goes out there and gets the pole award on that Friday. I mean, you could tell he was really, really fast. And for him to go and fight like that, I mean, it says a lot about the guy. You're two laps down. You get those back and he was in position, in my opinion, to come out of that thing with a win. Because, I mean, he'd worked his way up to, what, sixth?
Because all the way back up to sixth after two laps down. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about it, Jason, was the aggressiveness.
Sure.
We saw him being aggressive right from the start. Keselowski had a great car in that first stage, but Junior was right there with him. He got shuffled back a little bit, but when he needed to go forward, he was able to go forward, it seemed like, better than anybody else. So I really think he had a great opportunity. But we talk about this all the time. At super speedways, it's getting to the end of the race to put yourself in position. You've got to survive. And he just was, it was unfortunate because he had gotten his two laps back, put himself in perfect position, and then just racing stuff at a super speedway happened.
And if you're not first, and we talk about, if you're not first, if you're not
leading.
Okay, let me rephrase that. If you're not leading, if you're not the lead car at Talladega, at Daytona, you put yourself at risk for something like that to happen.
Yeah, all the way back. And, that's one of the things, too, that I noticed that was different. It seemed like, and maybe you guys didn't see this and I did, but the high line was working better than it has before in the past historically at Daytona. And I don't, maybe that's Goodyear bringing a different tire.
It could very well be. It could vary. And I think, especially at Talladega, or at Daytona, Talladega is bigger. It's wider, so you have a little more wiggle room you can do there, but it did seem like the lane, even there towards the end, even when they were getting double filed, they were kind of staying off the bottom of the racetrack. Mm-hmm. There just must have been a little more grip there. I think tires played a big role in that, and I think that really kind of upped the ante on the watchability of the race. It wasn't just following a pack of cars following each other all race long. It was, they were looking for grip. They were struggling with handling. They were comers and goers. It just made for a much more exciting race.
When you always go to Daytona, you always have the issue if you're the points leader, second, third, fourth, especially late in the season when you go to Talladega, that you don't know what's going to happen. There was a lot of crinkled up cars at the end of the race that are sitting pretty good in the points standings. But the one thing we have to think about now, guys, is that it really doesn't matter since you're not having to race points-wise to get in the playoffs. You're already in. It's those guys that wreck that don't have a win that are in the top 16 right now that really have to worry about it.
Yeah, I was hung up on the it really doesn't matter. I'm like, they lost $100,000 car.
Yeah.
It's the guys up there like a Kenseth.
Yeah.
Or Logano. That crashed out.
Right.
Those guys both wrecked.
Chase Elliott really was there too.
Right. Now, I will say the flip side of that is they all probably breathed a sigh of relief when Ricky Stenhouse won the race.
Mm-hmm.
And not somebody like David Ragan or Paul Menard or somebody like that are kind of unexpected that gives them that win. they were probably very excited to see somebody like Ricky get his second win and not, again, like we talked about last week on the show, increase the amount of guys that have at least one win. Do we get to that 16 spot? It looks to me like it's harder now.
Yeah.
with a repeat winner at Daytona, but it was big for those guys in that regard.
Point.
Now points will matter for probably a couple of those positions towards the end. I still think we get the 13, maybe even 14 different winners because there's still none of the Gibbs cars have won. Logano hasn't won. We've still got a lot of tracks, 9 races left before the playoffs. So I still think the opportunity is going to be there to get to 13 or 14. 16 looks a little more out of reach now without one of these being a first-time winner this past week.
How many more different tracks do you have, though, Jason, that you've got left? And we mentioned the ones who haven't won, but you think about it. You got Watkins Glen that's coming up. You got Kentucky. Normally, you got a Keselowski or somebody that runs well there.
Keselowski, so. The Gibbs cars run pretty well at Kentucky as well.
Bristol, the Gibbs cars run really well at Bristol, so you could very well get a Gibbs car there. That may be two. And then you look at Watkins Glen, which is really a crapshoot. Clint Bowyer really could win Watkins Glen fairly easily. That's three. So to get to your number 13, that's where we are. So what short tracks other than that?
You got
that?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, which usually the 22 runs well at.
Going back to Pocono.
Okay, Pocono, who was it that won Pocono this past
week? Blaney won Pocono.
All right.
You're going to the Brickyard.
Okay, which is kind of a crap shooting away.
You're going back to Michigan, Watkins Glen, Bristol, Darlington, Richmond.
My level of excitement for the
Pocono, Michigan.
It's taking a shot. This week is great because I got racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, these next three nights. So that part of it's great.
Watchability, you've got New Hampshire out there. You got Watkins Glen. You got Bristol. You got Darlington and Richmond.
But my whole point behind that track setup is the fact that there could be – there's not – I mean, let's just take Watkins Glen. We can expect probably 85% that somebody's going to win that maybe hasn't won yet.
Please, Boris said, win Watkins Glen.
That would be great to get him in. All right, let's get back to a couple of guys that, you know, you wouldn't expect to win. David Reagan, Michael McDowell. Were you surprised to see those guys up at the front or typical Daytona?
Plate race.
Brendan Gaughan was the big surprise.
Those cars are – it doesn't surprise me. I think engine-wise, power-wise, those guys can run with the other guys. They're generating, for the most part, they're generating enough horsepower and all that sort of stuff. Where we see the separation of all that is when you get to these handling type tracks. We get this week to a Kentucky or something like that where it's going to play a much bigger role. But in terms of just straight line speed and keeping it in line, I mean, that's why we see 30 cars in a pack and not just 10, 15 cars.
I think the real surprising thing to me, guys, is I don't know about you, but for Stenhouse to be able to follow up the restrictor plate win at Talladega and come back and win the next plate race, because we always said that, hey, it's a crapshoot out there. It's anybody can win a plate race, but you go out there and do it in back-to-back plate races.
It starts to put in that conversation of this guy is a real threat at a super speedway. Same way they talk about Junior, the same way they talk about Brad Keselowski. Now you can start to add Ricky Stenhouse Jr. into that conversation as well.
One of the other drivers that had a great run was Clint Bowyer. We always love hearing from him, and as long as he keeps running well, we get to hear his cool interviews, right? So
maybe
not, right?
Yeah, we may have to get to that after the break.
We can do that. So let me ask you this question before we go, something to think about, and we'll discuss after the break. Is Roush back? Is Roush on its way back? Or is it just super speedway, anybody can win? Hold on to that thought. We'll talk about it after the break. This is Racing Talk Radio.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3
The Buzz. Well, it's definitely a momentum thing. I mean, look at the last 2 weeks. We've been, you know, second runner-up. Second sucks, but it's better than third, you know. And we finished second 2 weeks in a row, so that's a huge confidence booster for our team. But nonetheless, as you know, the pressure cooker's turning up. You're sitting there looking up there with that green white checkered, you know, coming to the green there, and you're thinking, oh no, somehow some way I got to get up there and keep one of these guys that are going to be first time winners out of this thing. I mean, that's real. It's alive. And
live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, who all three of us are wishing Hiwassee Chase Air Systems would get up here to the Babylon Instant Oil Change Studios and get the air conditioner fixed.
I know a guy.
Maybe you can
I know a guy.
Give him a call and have them call Hiwassee Chase and get that worked out. So, talking a little Daytona, You heard from Clint Bowyer coming back in to the show. Always great to hear him. He's going to be kind of, instead of, you know, they compared Kyle Larson to Harry Gant, you might as well say Clint Bowyer is now the new Kyle Larson, right? Finishing second place.
It's a matter of time before Bowyer wins.
Yeah, he'll be there.
All you got to do, hey, listen, you just keep putting yourself in that position, and eventually, you know, the stuff's going to break your way. You know, he had a really fast race car. He kept it clean most of the night. I mean, listen, to win a plate race, Larson's car literally flips over top of Ricky Stenhouse. It could have been any number of guys could have wrecked at any moment in time, and we have a completely different result. So it's a crapshoot. It's about keeping yourself clean, putting yourself in the right position, but a lot of it is just plain old luck.
You hold your breath. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat every time these cars get out there at those tracks. It's actually pretty fun.
It's fun, yeah, to watch for us. I'm sure it's not fun when they're, in the driver's seat having to watch that stuff. So, all right, so let's get to Ricky Stenhouse. But before I did that, I asked a question before the break. I was talking about Dad this week, and, he's a big Ford guy, Scott. You'd appreciate him.
Like it.
I started asking him, do you think Roush is back, or do you think it's just a super speedway? And he brought up, you know, Trevor Bayne's run a little more consistent. Ricky Stenhouse has been running more consistent and not finishing, and I guess as bad as Biff, which we've got some news on him in a few minutes. But, are they back? Is the momentum going forward, or is it just luck?
All right, bottom line, you look at Stenhouse, he's got two victories, and he's sitting 16th in points. He's basically, you're looking at 40 guys out there. He's close to mid-pack with two victories. You look at Trevor Bayne, he's 19th, which is mid-pack. I don't think they're back. I think they're better than they have been in the past 4 or 5 years.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. Are they better? Yes.
Yes.
Are they back? No, you got to remember that this is a team that was, constantly, year in and year out, putting guys in championship contender, or putting them in position to win. You had Kenseth. You had Edwards race for them. You had some of the top guys in the sports running. Now they stumbled. They've struggled for a few years, but you're starting to see progress, and I think that's what, as an organization, you want to see progress. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. needed to start winning races, and you can just say, well, he's just winning plate races, but they're getting more consistent week in and week out, and that's a sign of headed in the right direction. Are they one of the top teams? I think we would all probably name 3 or 4 or 5 organizations before we would name them. But they are showing improvement.
I will tell you this, versus years past, I think that Roush right now is better as far as the progress they made and a bigger threat to go out there and have good finishes than Richard Childress Racing.
Mm-hmm.
In years past, I would not have said that, but I really do think that they are better than Childress at this point.
Well, and you look at it, out of the top 16 drivers, he's fifth with the amount of playoff points that he has. So, although he hasn't been running great.
Playoff wins.
Got a lot of playoff
points. Then wins make or 5 points for winning. That's a big deal right there.
Yeah, huge. And
good for them. I mean, it's good to see those guys out there running good. I go back to thinking about Roush and back in the old Valvoline days with Mark Martin and the X-Side 99 car with Jeff Burton. And those guys were strong back then.
Oh, yeah.
And then they brought Kenseth on board, and then they had Edwards. And like I said, once Edwards and Kenseth both left, it's been all downhill for
those guys. Yeah, it's been a struggle. And we talked about that. The transition has happened. It happened when those two guys left. They went with some younger guys. They've struggled. I think they had lost a lot of engineers, a lot of behind-the-scene personnel to other teams. And it's taken a little while to retool all that. But it seems like you're starting to see progress. Week in and week out, you're starting to see better. They've consolidated things a little more. They've gotten rid of their Xfinity team now, really, for essentially now that Bubba's out the door. They've done some things to kind of consolidate what they're doing and try to make a better push on what's happening on Saturday nights and Sundays, and you're starting to see some results.
You take away Jimmy Johnson from Hendrick, and they're right there.
It's in the same boat.
Yeah,
Well, another point to look at is you got 6 drivers actively running now that drove for Roush in the past. And those are pretty good drivers.
Oh, yeah, they're very good drivers.
Kurt Busch, Jamie McMurray, Clint Bowyer, Matt Kenseth.
And you take, Edwards just retired. There's another guy. So, Edwards could have won a championship last year. So when you lose that type of talent, sometimes it's hard to replenish that. They went with a couple of young guys. Sometimes it takes longer. for somebody to fully develop into a championship caliber race team. And we're just now starting to see a little bit of that emerge on the other side for that particular team.
Well, let's hear from the guy. I noticed in the Danica was probably giving the Monster Energy girls some dirty looks over there when she got to victory lane, but kind of funny to watch that whole scene go down with Danica and Ricky in victory lane.
The dogs.
And how Danica's feeling. Like, yeah, I just wrecked every race this year, and here I come to tell you congratulations. Let's hear from Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
We gave up the lead to the 13. David just didn't get down quick enough. Looks are deceiving when you're looking in your mirror. You can really see the cars on the outside really good, and it's tough to see the cars on the inside. And so we just got to run at the right time, and he moved up at the perfect time for us to get to the inside and keep the lead from there. I was pretty surprised with our damage that we were able
to actually win, but they were. And that's one thing that was, that I noticed on Saturday night, too, that we hadn't talked about yet. We talked about tires, but it seems like now more and more that aerodynamics at a super speedway is not that big of a difference.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Junior get in the wall, beat it up on that right side, and still was able to come back, and like I said, was really fast until the other wreck took him out. But, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I still think it's very, very important. You're not going to see a modified running around out
right
there and win the, you know.
I think you can run in the pack where we saw trouble like McMurray. He was when he got towards the front thereafter, he got a little bit of front end damage. That lane couldn't go anywhere because once you get the air on the front of that car, and if it's not aerodynamic in the pack, it's not as aero dependent. But to actually win a race and be out front, you still got to have that thing. Maybe not perfect. But perfect-ish, if you will.
Perfect-ish. Is that a word?
Perfect-ish.
Just like this show, it's perfect-ish.
Yeah,
perfect-ish. Most of the time, it's perfect-ish.
I do enjoy that paint scheme for Rowdy.
That's what he's going to be running this weekend at Kentucky, just FYI.
Yeah,
that might be why somebody
picked it. You see it without the Snickers bar? It doesn't say Snickers. It says Rowdy.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, let's get some crazy news. I wonder if all this coincides with the retirement, because I don't think he ever officially retired, but leaving the sport. But Greg Biffle is getting sued by his ex-wife of 2015 and her mom for having cameras inside the house that supposedly recorded them doing things and stuff like that. Now, not those kind of things, to my knowledge, but being around the house. So I put that under weird news story.
I do think it's weird. I don't know what's on the camera footage, but you can't have cameras in your own house. I don't know. It's a kind of, like you said, it's a weird news kind of thing there.
It's something I did not expect to see pop up on my phone.
I was a little surprised when I got the text the other day. Hey, check this out.
This is funny.
I'm thinking, what?
I was sitting here thinking, when I first started, what's the cameras catching him in his Colonel Sanders pajamas or something,
No, it was Colonel Sanders' race suit that looked just like the pajamas. So, all right, so any final takeaways from Daytona and the 400?
It was fun. It was that's the kind of plate racing I think we would like to see. And I hope they bring a similar type tire the next time. I like to see handling play a role. I like to see some of the carnage. Too many set a record for cautions for that race. But when you have as much going on, as much with the handling and stuff like that, and you're going to get wrecks at that place.
It beats seeing 18 cars following each other around. Then you see a freight train of 12 cars coming up. And then you got 10 back in the back that's, a quarter of a lap behind. And I think it's a lot better race than what we've seen.
Yeah, and the stages have really kind of spiced these races up because you could see when they got 10 to go in those stages, man, the intensity level picked up. It was go time, and they were out there trying to get some points. So anytime we can kind of add that dynamic to it, it's exciting stuff, not just for the end of the race. It wouldn't just follow the leader for 150 laps and then try to duke it out in the last 10. So it was a lot of fun. It was a very enjoyable race.
All right. When we come back, we'll shift gears over to Kentucky. That will be this weekend. As Scott mentioned, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You get your fill of trucks, Xfinity, and Monster Cup. We'll also talk about the Monster Energy Series point standings And coming up later in the show, our power rankings. Whose has changed? Whose is not?
Whose is not?
And we'll talk about that later. Be back in just a second.
We'll be back faster than a buzz off a can of Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. On 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. On 101.3 The Buzz.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Your host, Jamie Kyle. Co-host, Jason Hildebrand. Scott Webb.
Webb.
Spinning this old tune from the 80s when
Back
Scott
in the
was
80s.
20.
I mean, it is what it is, buddy.
It's kind of a slow reaction to age.
It's what happens when you get older.
That is true. You're aging well, though, Scott.
I am aging well. Thank you very much.
And you kept your hair short for a long period of time, so you
couldn't
tell the difference.
Yeah, when the hairline drifts back a little bit, it doesn't. Nobody notices.
I've got this theory that when mine starts going,
what do you mean when?
Well, when it gets to a unsatisfactory point.
I was like my buddy Travis Godfrey, called them power alleys.
Yeah. And then he shaved his head, and I think that's where I'm going to go with it.
That's
too.
Where you're going. I totally agree with that theory.
I mean, there's no
reason.
It's less maintenance in the morning too.
You better believe it.
So it's a good thing. All right, we have
that was brought to you by the Hair Club for Men
and Keith Hernandez.
Grecian formula, you know.
And Walt, who's the other guy that's with Keith Hernandez on the
Walt Frazier.
Walt Frazier.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us today. I don't know where the show's
going. This
thing's
spinning out of control.
Talked about Daytona, getting ready to go into Kentucky. But first, we've got to go to the Monster Energy Series point standings. Those are brought to you by Stephanie Painter with Cry Like Realtors. 376 Gatlin Road, Cleveland, Tennessee, $294,900. That's 3,500 plus square feet with 5.5 acres. I know I'll talk to a lot of people who want to listen, if it's a typo, then you need to call and just say that's what it is. But, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people that want acreage, and this is the one to get. 376 Gatlin Road, it's $294,900, 3,500 plus square feet on 5.50 acres. Give Stephanie a call at 473-JASON, 473-9545, or her sale 650-9429. That's Stephanie Painter with Cry Like. Scott Webber, take it away.
Webber. Thanks. Appreciate that. Now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings after the Coke Zero 400. Kyle Larson.
Carl
Lawson. That's his twin. Kyle Larson actually has the point lead. He has an 18-point lead over Martin Truex Jr. Kyle Busch, rowdy. Rowdy's in third. Kevin Harvick, fourth. Brad Keselowski, fifth. Chase Elliott, sixth. Chase had a fast car this past week, too.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't keep it on the track, but he had a fast ride.
Something about a wooden screw.
Yep. Jimmy Johnson, seventh. Jamie McMurray, eighth. Denny Hamlin, ninth. Clint Bowyer, tenth. Matt Kenseth, 11th. Joey Logano, 12th. Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman. And rounding out your top 16 is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Now, do remember that Austin Dillon is below the top 16 line, so he at this point would qualify. That would knock out Newman's got to win. That would knock out Matt Kenseth. So you got to go all the way up to Kenseth there.
Well, Logano.
You're right. Logano 12th. They get the race win on here, but that win was encumbered.
Cheated.
That is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter. I didn't know when you were going to end that. Brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like.
This dramatic reading of the point standings.
Give her a call if you're interested in having some acreage along with a good-sized house out in the country. 376 Gatlin Road, Cleveland, Tennessee. It's 3,500-plus square feet, 5.5 acres for $294,900. Give her a call at 473-9545. Or 650-9429. You can also find her on Facebook. It's Stephanie Painter. You will see her mug shot along with all the houses she is selling. I can say mug shot because it looks like a mug shot. She'll hit me tonight.
I don't feel like we did a very good job on the point standing, Sarah.
What, you want to do them over?
No, I don't want to do them over. Not at all. But I was just letting you know that that was our B-minus game.
Yeah. Well.
It happens. Hey, it's 4th of July week. It happens.
It's rainy. Went to bed at midnight last night.
Yeah.
So didn't get to see the fireworks.
Didn't get to see the fireworks. I mean, I totally get it.
But you heard them, though.
Yeah. I did hear them on the radio.
On the radio.
Yeah.
Was that like in stereo? Was that like hi-fi surround sound?
Listen, when you hear the Lookouts game, used to, they were on another station, and you could hear it pretty well because of how far it went and the wattage it had. But this station they're on now is not too good. So it kind of goes out, and you could barely hear them. But just the fact that we waited all that time and then didn't
Trooper. Anyone, you're a real trooper.
Trooper I am. All right, so Kentucky coming up. The Quaker State 400 is going to be at 7:30. On Saturday night, three segments, 80-80, and then 107 laps. Guys, configuration part. Last year, they paved it. They reconfigured it. A couple of years before that, they fixed the parking lot to get everybody all happy and everything else.
Last year, was Kentucky the place where the guy's truck caught on fire in the parking lot?
They can't win for losing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Kentucky.
It was Kentucky. I mean, you're looking out there, and the guy, the barbecue, his grill caught on fire out there.
That's what you get for stick. Hey, put my, just put it in the front seat.
Yeah. And you saw his big black smoke
and the
bellowing.
Next thing you know, there's a four-alarm fire going off in the parking lot.
It was right when it was started. I remember. Yeah. It was great seeing it. Not great for that guy, but, I mean, it was pretty good viewing on TV.
Bad for his insurance
great.
Guy, too.
Yeah, that's great. It's good stuff.
So Kentucky's always interesting. They ask Kyle Busch, you know, after the repave and the configuration, you know, from his perspective, what did he think about the new surface?
It's certainly everything that was discussed, you know, with the racetrack being changed a little bit for turns one and two being slightly banked more and carrying more speed through there. Turns three and four, not much change down there, but, you know, flatter corner tends to be a little bit slicker. And, you know, entry to three has probably been the trickiest corner for me probably on the circuit here, but I've made the most of it and my opportunities here and been able to win here before, so hoping that I can figure that out again and be a little bit better at that than some of these other guys. But overall it's you know, still got some character to it with some,
you know, Kyle Busch, one of, if I had a driver that was going to be on a slick track, he's my guy.
He's my guy on a lot of tracks. I mean, I think the guy's just fantastic. He's one of only three guys to win at this track on this series, along with Brad Keselowski and Matt Kenseth, and the guy's good.
Yeah, well, and you think he won, that's just talking about Monster Energy Series, he's won a ton of old Nationwide and Xfinity on this track as
well. Dominate those series.
Yeah. Another driver that's ran good there, you mentioned Brad Keselowski. He, of course, won last season on a fuel mileage gamble. This is something we'll see at this track, even though it's not, you know, a typical Pocono or Michigan that's really big. But fuel mileage plays a part, and he said, they asked him, how did that win compare to the others you had in the past?
That was, you know, winning at Kentucky has been a good theme for us, but none of the wins have been quite like that one. Winning in 2016, literally out of gas and coasting, and having to shut the car off, start it back up just to get it to the start-finish line, and then being out down the front stretch, I thought I lost that race.
He should have lost that race. But, you know, it reminded me of Carl Edwards back at Atlanta, if you remember that three or four years ago. I mean, the guy was going like, you know, maybe 100 miles an hour. Everybody else was going 170, 180, and they couldn't catch him, and he won it on fuel mileage. So I know a lot of people don't like the fuel mileage race, but sometimes they're good.
I don't have any, you know, it's a strategy just like changing tires or whatever. I mean, you know, we don't want to see it week in and week out, but sometimes it's, you know, if you can make your fuel runs longer or you can pit at a certain time and take advantage of time, you give yourself opportunity.
I think it leads for great watching of viewing of TV because it keeps you on the edge. Is this guy going to run out of gas? Is he even going to make it? And then, you know, we haven't seen him run out as often as we did in the past because maybe their calculations are just better now. But used to, you'd see them come around about halfway through, and then things would start sputtering, and here they go down to the apron. But, you know, I think it lends to great viewership just to keep you on the edge of what's going to happen.
And it seems like they've changed a couple of things, too, because they've got that emergency fuel button that they push or whatever that kind of gives them a little more. But
you know, the drivers have really lucked out this year because they've gotten some late cautions that have helped them reserve that fuel versus if it stays green, they're toast.
They're done.
But it's fun to watch.
I think outside of Austin Dillon, who's really won on fuel mileage? This year.
There was somebody else that pushed the limit.
Well, Brad's tried it a couple of times.
I want to say Larson a couple of weeks ago. They were pushing the envelope.
That was at Michigan, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were pushing the envelope, and they were nervous about if they had enough. I might be wrong.
You know, there's probably some old Darrell Waltrip Jr. Johnson tricks going on with the roll cages full of petrol.
Whatever it takes, man. So, get her done.
Getting her done,
get
for
her
sure.
Done.
You know, one thing with the fuel mileage, too, that we haven't seen it as much, I guess, is the – well, let me just ask the question. Do you think that the segments have kind of ended that some?
Sort of. You know, but the stages and stuff is stuff that's happening in the first half of the race. Typically, you know, you're getting a much longer, and NASCAR looked at this when they set up the stages. You know, they wanted to make sure it wasn't just one fuel run, or fuel wasn't going to play a specific role in how a race ends. So, you know, like with this week, you're going 80, 80, and 107. So there's not a ton. It's almost third. So there's not a ton of difference in how you handle it. It's going to be longer than one fuel run. It's probably not going to be the last section. I don't, in a mile and a half, I would think it's not going to be two fuel runs there in that last 107. But, you know, a lot of things have to happen for a fuel run for that type of race to happen. We've got to have a lot of green flag action. This is one of those tracks where we can see a lot of green flag runs. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out.
Well, and you think you would see a lot of off sequence pitting. And what I mean by that is not coming in at the end of the stage, but coming in before the end of the stage and kind of pushing and being off sequence with everybody else.
Well, I mean, it's a strategy that you can use, but nobody's going 107 laps.
Right.
So you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to figure out, and then, you know, and then all you need is that one extra caution in there, and it throws everybody out of whack. You know, you're in a situation where tires are going to be important again this week. So you can't play this like a road course and work backwards. You know, you take advantage of fuel when certain situations happen. And last year was one of them.
One other driver that they talked to this week, Kevin Harvick, they asked him about the new configuration and how that's changed and what his reaction to the new configuration is.
It's different. You know, we run in a lot of places that have new asphalt, Kansas being probably one of those places, Michigan being one of those places, you know, especially since we just ran there with this aerodynamic package. So there are some things that you can do, but really, really trying to get track maps and know where the bumps are and try to get some sort of rhythm so that when the track is conditioned close enough to run as hard as you need to run, to rubber on the racetrack, and you'll be able to get a much better read for where the speed's going to be and how your car is going to actually drive, you know, work out the big things that and get the travels right and get hopefully get the balance close and see, you know, how the speed progresses.
Did he really give us any kind of information there other than...
He gave us a lot of information.
Driver talk.
I don't know if it was relevant to the question, but he gave us a lot of information.
It was kind of funny. You could watch him and the other guys race at the Quaker State 400 this Saturday night at 7:30. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the best drivers, the best average finish amongst the active drivers for Kentucky. Also, power rankings, picks to win. We'll do that next.
Johnson Pit Stop. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems. On 101.3 The Buzz, please, Hawassi Chase Air Systems, get us a little air up here. Jason's been fanning. Scott seems like he's at home, so he must be used to it.
Yeah, yep.
So, Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb just went over.
Yeah, you know, you're whining a lot
Kentucky.
Today.
Told you, I didn't get much sleep last night. I mean, some of us had to be at work early.
Yes, I completely understand that. Some of us are at
you
work
do?
Early. Yes.
This is kind of new for you, too,
it
because you're not used to having
to
work
I'm
in
not.
The summer. So we can walk you through that.
I may need some help. I need some counseling, some guidance.
Especially when it gets more, you know, 1st of August.
What I'm really looking forward to is, like, getting up at being dark. Leaving to go to work and then coming home.
Home and it's dark.
Yes.
And it's dark. I'm really looking forward to those.
Yeah. That is not fun.
That's I've worked in Chattanooga so long, I've kind of come to expect that. And then once you get through like February, you're just like, crap, please, time change. You want
the only time I like the time change though is in football season. It gets dark early.
Yeah. You ready for some football? I'm right, by the way.
I'm jacked.
Somebody got a countdown, because when there's no racing on the weekend, poof.
I mean, you think about it, we're only like 7 weeks.
Oh, it's right around the corner.
From high school, I mean, you're looking at probably about five.
The third week of August.
Whip and Alabama, you're looking at about 3 months.
I don't think so.
When that'll happen. So, all right, best average finish.
10 years and 3 months.
From best average finish among active drivers at Kentucky, if you are in any kind of office pool, be a good time to listen to this. So, Matt Kenseth has the best average finish. How many years have we been running here at Kentucky?
Six years
at Kentucky. So,
Keselowski, he's got
three victories.
Three wins there. I knew he'd won there several times.
Kyle Busch is in between Kenseth and Keselowski. So you really couldn't go wrong by picking probably the two and three in Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski right there. Funny how that transfers.
I'd say you probably wouldn't go wrong picking seven of the top 10 drivers.
Yeah. I'd take Kurt Busch out of that. I don't know that he...
I'd give Kurt a better shot than Kane or Newman or Earnhardt, though.
That's true. I was just thinking Jimmy Johnson's always lurking there. Casey Kane's definitely out.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, they've had six races there in the Quaker State 400, and only three people have won. So.
And considering Quaker State is a huge sponsor of Hendrick Motorsports, you would think there would be a Hendrick car that have won, but I don't believe there has.
There hasn't been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is what it is. The racing, I think, is... with the reconfiguration and the repave, it helped. I thought the racing has been a little better the last couple of years, but it's still...
This will be the first time in Kentucky with a stage race, too.
Well, I mean, that could play...
Goodyear's taking a new tire there.
And taking a new tire there, so that could all play a role. We love to see races where tires give out, and it makes it more about the driver. So it'll be interesting to see. This is one of those we may have to throw the snooze factor warning out on Saturday evening if it's... they settle in and we get along, you know, we start talking. If you start hearing the words clean air, then
if you don't have cable, you can always log on to Twitter and follow Greg Biffle and watch it from his interior cameras. I'm sure one of them will be pointed on the TV. So that might make it interesting if it gets boring. But I will agree, clean air, if we hear that, and that's usually at the mile and a half is what we hear, and usually you can't pass the leader.
Yeah, I think you'll know early on in this race what happens. Usually had two go out like a rocket ship and don't look back. I mean, it's going to be a long night for everybody else.
Or the 18. Yeah. So, well, the 18's got to finish a race. I think that's the thing for the 18.
It would be nice. It's easier to win them if you finish them.
All right. Power rankings as Jason breaks one phone of the two that he carries. All right, so I go with the 42, still left him up front, mainly because he's won six dirt races in a row this week. I think that's why I put him up
top.
My
man has won some serious dirt races.
Yes. My man Kyle Busch in second. My other man Jimmy Johnson
with no wins
in third. Jamie McMurray, I thought, ran really well on Saturday night to hold his spot in my power rankings in fourth. And then Kevin Harvick, who took out Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the middle half of the field with his blown tire. I've still got him in fifth. Jason Hildebrand.
I got Kyle Larson. Points leader in first place. I got Martin Truex Jr., who's second in points, in second place.
I notice how he makes that statement.
You know, I mean, I have to throw it out there. You know, just stating the facts. Jimmy Johnson won three times this year. Got him in third. Kevin Harvick, who I should have dropped for the blown tire and taken out my guy.
88.
I got him in fourth.
That's the first time he said that, Scott.
What's that?
First time he said my guy for the 88.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
It's relationship.
He's got to ride that to the end since it's the
I got half a year left. I got Rowdy Busch in fifth. And like I said, my guy, your guy, 18 is second in yours. My guy, nowhere to be found in mine. So.
Yeah, that is true. Maybe that'll happen next week.
No.
Hey, I love your text, by the way. I picked the 88 for first and Jeffrey Earnhardt for last. In Daytona, that was great.
That's
the way they qualified.
Right.
I mean, number one and number four. You know, an Earnhardt on the front and an Earnhardt in the back.
Yeah. Well, I left Truex near the top. He still has the stage points later. I think he was kind of riding around in this particular one and just happened to get caught up in some of that. Larson was good again until he decided to go. I don't know if what they call that move in snowboarding, like a half pike. I don't know what he was trying to do there with his race car there towards the end. And the accident was clearly his fault. He he just moved up on Stenhouse and ended up flipping his car. Luckily, it didn't. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been not only could he have taken out a bunch more cars, he could have went up into the stands and done some real damage. But I got him second, Johnson third. Johnson was kind of this week. It was just, you know, their super speedway program is just been kind of meh the last couple years. Harvick fourth, and at some point the fifth place guy is going to win a race. I didn't pick him this week, so maybe this will be the week, but I have Rowdy in fifth.
Well, I appreciate you putting the 18 in fifth.
I almost moved him out just because Keselowski was so strong in the first stage, but then he was kind of myth. Once he got back in traffic, he couldn't go anywhere, so I just left it alone. It's 3 weeks in a row power rankings have stayed the same for me.
Yeah, if you want a good, funny listen to... You could get, did you change yours?
No, I copied and changed the winner. I copied and pasted and changed the winner.
A good funny listen, go to follow Fox Sports NASCAR on Twitter, and they have the chatter from
the
on
scanner.
The scanner chatter.
Oh, it's great. I watched it
today. Kyle Busch is hilarious when he is on there. So he even said at one point, and you had to feel bad for the guy that's filling in, he's like, I really wish I had my crew chief. So I don't know what was going on there, but it was great. All right, so storylines coming out of Kentucky before we go to the winner. What do you guys think?
I'll go tires, and that's just a shot in the dark. I have no idea. Reconfiguration, you got a new tire, stage racing. I'll take a shot and say tires.
I say I'm going out on a limb. Guy blows up his car with a charcoal grill.
You're going without side.
I'm with agreement with Scott on that. I think the tires. There's a lot of unknowns there with it being a new tire. Going to Kentucky, I think tires will be the storyline.
Something tells me, even though I didn't pick, well, yeah, I did. I think we'll have another new winner this year. Come Saturday night late.
Were you going to reveal that? You just going to tease it? What are you going to do?
Well, it was kind of a tease.
It was a tease.
I saw you getting ready to say
except
something.
Except I can look right here.
Yeah, I can look right at the schedule and say I can tell you exactly who you picked to win.
Do you have any of that Ric Flair music, the intro music for Ric Flair?
I want to hear Midnight Express.
Express. You need to find some of this. See if you can find some Ric Flair music.
I make no promises.
Yeah,
but we'll
Jason,
see.
Go ahead with your pick.
I'm going with the 18 of Kyle Busch to win.
Why are you going with the 18 of Kyle Busch?
Because he's good there. One of only three drivers to win, and I think he's pretty darn strong. Gets his crew chief, Adam Stevens, back this week.
Finally.
And I think they put it
for
together.
One lug nut. I mean, really.
Yeah.
It's like one.
Got to play by the rules, buddy.
Yeah. Scott, any luck?
No, you're out of luck.
All right. Well, anyway, the winner this Saturday night at Kentucky Speedway, as we've learned during the break in Sparta, Kentucky, which your weather report there is.
Looks good Saturday. Looks clear.
All good.
May not be here in Cleveland, but it looks good.
It's raining here.
It's going to rain here, I can tell
Anybody
you that
got
for a
arc?
Fact.
So in Sparta, Kentucky, I can tell you what's going to be passed around Victory Lane. That's going to be some Snickers bars with Rowdy on the side of them. Get ready. Rowdy Busch is going to take the win. The number 18 sponsored right down the road at M&M Mars. Go ahead and mark it down.
You're a hometown guy.
Mark it down. I'm promoting business as if they need it. So anyway, 18 wins. Go ahead. I was wanting to make that a little more special. Maybe we need to get the Ric Flair music next time.
If I'd have had more than 5 seconds of...
I didn't put it on my show schedule.
No, you did not. No. I could have made that happen. No. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. I thought that obviously he's won three times there. He had a very fast race car last week. It's his time, and this is a good track for him.
It's time.
Him or Logano. Logano really needs a win, but I've seen more consistency with the two car, so I went two car this week in a blue oval.
I was thinking Logano early because I remember that's where he got his first Xfinity Series win was at Kentucky, so... one of the thoughts that I had there was going with him, but you really could put a 2 or a 22 there.
Right, and a little more consistency out of that bunch the last couple of weeks. They had kind of a lull after their win got encumbered, but a little more positivity coming out of the 22 camp the last couple of weeks.
Should be good. All right, you can find it on 101.3 Saturday night, hopefully, on PRN Radio. We'll be bringing the broadcast again. That's 7:30. Also racing Thursday night, Jason, and Friday night.
Oh, yeah, up in Kentucky. It should be a fun weekend. You got racing all weekend.
Yeah, FS1 Thursday night with the trucks, yeah. And then NBC Sports Network both Friday night and Saturday night.
Viewers might get a treat. They're calling for rain Thursday and Friday up there in Kentucky Speedway, but clear on Saturday, so you might they could run all three on Saturday. Who knows?
That would be something.
That would
there.
Be fun.
Yeah. Like Vegas is going to be doing a triple header, you know, next
year.
That'd
be great.
Oh, and by the way, we didn't even mention the fight that happened on Friday night with a rain delay, the MMA.
Oh, yeah.
They had that.
Oh, listen, hey, if they could have built-in things like that to happen at every track for rain delays, that would be great.
Instead of seeing them chasing around.
Yeah, speaking of fight, I know this is a little off topic, but you see the protesters at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest get slammed to the ground by the police.
I didn't, but that's great.
It was awesome.
Some hot dogs that got slammed by Joey. 72. I don't think I've ate 72 in a year. All right, thanks for joining us today.
We can hurry up and stop talking, I may go home and try to eat a couple of them for sure.
That would be good.
Dip it in water, you know.
Thank you for listening. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiawassee Chase Heating and Air on 101.3 The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiawassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.